Good morning, church. Good to see you all. Happy Mother's Day. As we prayed earlier, without you moms, without moms, we wouldn't be here. So I know that's deep, but you know. But we're grateful for you all, and yeah. So we're continuing our study through the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, and just love that chapter. It's so rich, so wonderful. So if you would, turn there with me, and if you would, follow along. I always encourage everybody to follow along, of course, in the Word of God. It is so vital because sometimes we hear sermons, and a person can preach a sermon and say what they say, they could be the Word of God sprinkled in there. But if we're not reading the Word of God, we won't know if it's in context. We don't know if that's really what it says. So I encourage you not to take my word for it, but to follow along and see if what we're saying is what's is in there. You know, we want to be those Bereans, right? Like in the book of Acts. We want to make sure that we're rightfully dividing the Word of God. So just encourage you in that. Another thing, I don't think it was mentioned, maybe I missed it, but Wednesdays, after the break on the 27th, we're not going to have any children's ministry for Wednesdays, so it's going to be family service. I would suggest, depending on where we're at, just to look ahead to see where we're at in Scripture. Of course, we're always in the Old Testament to see the age appropriateness for your children if you do bring your children on Wednesday. Amen? All right, let's pray. I don't know if we prayed, but we're going to pray again because we can never pray enough. Lord, thank you. You are so good. We're so grateful to you. We love you. We praise you. Lord, may you speak to us powerfully through your word. May you encourage us in the manner that only you can. And Lord, we pray that you would just pour out your spirit upon this place, upon your people, Lord, that this would not be just, whether it's an intellectual exercise or information or anything of that nature, but it would be transformation by the power of your spirit, Lord, as we receive your word for what it is, perfect, undefiled, inerrant, and directly from you. So Lord, we ask, would you meet us where we're at? And we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Chapter 11, and we left off on verse 17, but we're going to back up to verse 13 so we can get the flow of things. Verse 13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." I love that. Don't you love that? They said they didn't receive it, but man, they saw the promise. They knew it was coming. They knew it would be fulfilled. And they lived their lives that way, and they embraced it. And in understanding that, they could live life as pilgrims, as nomads. They lived here on earth understanding that this is not our home, that heaven is our home. We're here for a particular a period of time, but one day we're going to be in the presence of our Lord and Savior, and there is no comparison, earth and heaven. Being here in a place riddled with sin and being before the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, where there's perfection, no sin. Amen? So, verse 14, "For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And they truly," and truly, notice this verse too, "and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return." Now that's interesting, right? Because it's right in there. Because we go back to the source, the point of the letter, that it's written to encourage these Messianic Jews, these Jewish believers, because they wanted to go back to Judaism. And the author's encouraging them, don't do that, don't do that. Listen, if you want to go back, he says, this is another example in the midst of that. He says, if you want to go back, he says, they could have gone back. But notice what it says then. But they didn't, and nor should we. Verse 16, "But now they desire a better place, that is, a heavenly country." And don't we desire that? They said, we should long for that. The Bible talks about really our bodies groaning for that new body in heaven. And some of our bodies groan a little louder than others, you know, as we see the reality of this. And so here it says, but now they desired a better place, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And that brings us to our text this morning. And as we continue this epic chapter of the Hall of Faith, what we saw last week, and as we continue here, we see that the Holy Spirit, because we don't know the author, right? You know, we can have a conversation in regards to who the author is. You know, I believe it's Paul. We don't know. You know, if you want to be wrong, it's okay. I'm just kidding. The author is the Holy Spirit. That's who the author is. And so the Holy Spirit here lists a number of these heroes of the faith, incredible men and women. And I love that section here that we just read. You know, they said they could have gone back, but they said, no, no, they long for a better place. And so do we as Christians. We don't want to go back to the world, what we were saved from sin. We're like, our desire now is forward-looking, upward-looking, upward-bound. Yeah, that's a word, right? We can make it a word. You know, heavenly-bound. They pressed on. These men are being used as an example, as those that pressed on, those that believe God, those that exercise faith. And as we've noted so far, and there's a lot more to go, is that they weren't perfect. They stumbled. They had their issues here and there. But listen, they believed God. And even with a little bit of faith, God can do a lot. A little bit of faith and obedience, God can do so much. And so I love what it says, that this is why God is not ashamed to be called their God. They believed God. They didn't trade in their God. Through difficulties, through this, through that, they said, we're stumbling, we're going here, we're going there, but God's still our God. And so these men and women of faith clearly understood that this place was not their home, that they were just passing through. They set their eyes higher. Listen, the problem is a lot of times we set our eyes here, around, and what's to the left, what's to the right, to our neighbors, how do we keep up with the Joneses, right? The things of the world, and the problem is we need to lift up our eyes higher, our destination. And so that is what they did. They understood their vision was in heaven. And so that's where we're uncomfortable here. We look around and we should be longing for heaven, looking to heaven. And I'm reminded of Moses, which of whom we're going to talk about. But you remember when he killed that Egyptian? And the Bible says that he looked left and he looked right, and then he committed the act, and then he got in trouble. Where did he forget to look? Up. He would have looked up. And so heaven is our home. Are you homesick sometimes? Listen, I think every believer at a certain point sometimes, we're like, home, Lord, I'm just ready. Not that we have, let's not misunderstand. We're not those that are looking to end our life or anything like that. Don't even, you know, that's not us. We love the life that God has given us, the purpose that God has given us. And even before, we didn't have any purpose. Now we have a purpose in Christ Jesus. But our desire is sometimes we're like, Lord, I'm homesick. Man, one day you're going to come. I can't wait to be in your presence. And so it's okay. It's okay to be homesick. It's good. It keeps our minds and our hearts in the right place. Nevertheless, while we're here, our faith will be tested. And just as theirs were. But with every test, every time you're tested, your faith will get stronger. Or you'll do another lap. And then it'll get stronger. It's up to you and to me. So, and that's where we pick up this morning. Look at verse 17 with me. And once again, you can highlight, underline by faith, by faith, by faith, because it is by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So verse 17 says, by faith, Abraham. So we come back to Abraham. When he was what? Church? Test it. Glad we're all reading it together. I'm giving you all a hard time. when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Look at that wording. Isn't that wording incredible? Because we see that again, right? John chapter 3, his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Abraham was not just tested when he was called out of Ur of the Chaldeans. He was called to go out into Canaan. Remember, he didn't know where or what, and you know, he didn't have answers for his wife. We're just going, and the Lord will show us. Yeah. And so he obeyed, and the testing's all the way through, but God had given him a promise. God said, man, the nations of the earth is in your seed, the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. All nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And we know that after 25 years, that promise came about. That son of promise came to be after some mishaps and so forth on their part. Imagine that, 25 years, and then God gives you this miracle baby, a miracle baby. How incredible is that? And then God says, hey, listen, I want you to take him up to Mount Moriah and what? Sacrifice him there. Like, what? Why? Why, God? My whole heart has been for 25 years to this point, and now he's older enough. He is the fulfillment. Why? That's what I would say. I would say, Lord, I probably didn't get that text. Email, delete. Be like, no, you know. But that's not what Abraham says. He had the promise that God gave him, that he would multiply his descendants as the sand of the sea, and it would be through Isaac. And Genesis 22, the Bible tells us here that Abraham was tested. And in Genesis 22, you're familiar with it because it's such a picture of the crucifixion, right? Of God later on giving his only begotten son as well. But in Genesis 22, it says that it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. There's that word again, tested. And notice what Abraham said, you know, when he said to him, Abraham, and Abraham said, here I am. Three little words. We're like, three little words. Do you respond when God calls you? Because Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. But oftentimes says, Lord, I can't quite hear that. I know a good person, though. Jimmy, send him. That guy, he knows his Bible. I'm sort of busy now. He said, here I am. And then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac. Notice, there's no confusion here. He tells him, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. It's so important that we understand those words, test, to test, because this is something that some people grab onto and hold on. It says, what kind of God would ask somebody to kill their own son? It's a test. It was only a test. And so it's important that we understand that this was for Abraham, not for God. And Abraham, he obeyed. It didn't matter to him how hard this was. He believed that God would keep his promise in the face of something that he didn't understand. He believed. He had faith that God would keep his promise in the face of something he didn't understand. Let that wash over you. Do you have faith that God would keep his promise in the midst of something that you don't understand? Why, Lord? Why this? Why am I here? Why am I still sick? Why am I still going through this? Why divorce? Why health? Why did? And we can go, why? Listen, we need to remember that God is faithful. If we're walking with the Lord, if we're walking with the Lord hand in hand, we can rest in that. And so in verse 19, we see what the conclusion that Abraham comes to. Take a look at verse 19 with me. It says, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. His conclusion was not that God was going to start over, that God reneged on his promises, or anything of the sort, but that God would keep his promise, and if need be, he would raise Isaac from the dead, because God keeps his promises. Now that is faith, now that is belief, and Abraham believed. He passed the test. And God was not going to allow Abraham to sacrifice his only son, but rather, he wanted to use this event as a picture of what he was going to do 2,000 years later in that very place. And that's what Abraham said to Isaac. God will provide himself a sacrifice, because he did that 2,000 years later. When Jesus gave his life for us, he wouldn't have Abraham sacrifice his son, but he would sacrifice his very own son for us. I don't even want to understand that in the sense of me personalizing it. Do you know what I mean? I get it. How hard, all this, you know, amazing. But I don't want to understand that in my life. Like, even think of my kid saying, I'm going to give my kid, my child, well, they're all grown up, but anyway, my children to be sacrificed. The pain of a parent. But God did it for us. Verse 20. And so by faith, Abraham believed. He believed. He obeyed the hard stuff. By 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. Notice, it's Isaac's turn. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So by faith, Isaac prayed God's promises over his sons, believing that God would fulfill his promise in them. And by faith, the father prayed, believing them. And by faith, the son received them. By faith, Jacob believed as Isaac prayed. It's so important, guys, as parents. And we're talking here about fathers, but moms as well. So vital. Your faith is so vital. Kids are little sponges. They see your life and they say, Mom and Dad, they don't really believe that. Or Mom and Dad really believe that. Oh, well, church is something that we do once a week, and this is what we do, and we get that, and then we go and we live life like we don't know Jesus. Nobody knows that we're Christians. And so the kids see that. And more is caught than taught. That's just the way it is. More is caught than taught. And here we see the legacy of faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and so forth. Your children and my children will observe our lives and know whether our faith is fair weather faith or real faith. And you know when we see that? In difficulties. Because in difficulties, if we start going all over the place, it means I don't have my faith in God. I have my faith in what I can do and this, whatever it may be. Maybe it's in my bank account. Maybe it's in, you know, what my abilities, this and that. But when difficult things come, there are things in life that come, they will come, that you can't do nothing about. Absolutely nothing about. And listen, those are the times that when we have a history with God, we say, Lord, it's in your hands. They're in your hands. It's always been in your hands. And I trust you in this. And then is when that verse comes alive, that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and lives. Because we're like, we trust God. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped. Don't you love that? As he's dying, he's worshiping God. I love that. Worship, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. And in Genesis 15, God spoke to Abraham in a dream and said to him that his descendants would be strangers in a land that was not theirs and would serve them and be afflicted 400 years, but afterwards they would return to Canaan. to the land that he promised them. This is what God told Abraham. And so by faith, Isaac believed that, Jacob believed that, and by faith, Joseph believed God. And on his deathbed, he gave instructions for his bones to be taken with the children of Israel when they returned to the promised land. When? 400 years later. Think about that. He says, God's word is going to come to pass 400 years later when you return to that land. Hey, don't forget me. Don't forget my bones. Take me with you. And so he gave instructions. That's faith. Seeing far off, they were assured of the promises. And so after the time had been fulfilled, after 400 years passed, God brought forth Moses to fulfill his promise and deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. Verse 23, take a look at that with me. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. As the author walks us through the Old Testament and gives us a survey through the Old Testament, we come to Moses in the first chapter of Exodus. We read that Pharaoh, being concerned with the Hebrew nation, the Hebrew people, because they were growing so quickly, they were expanding in numbers, they were concerned that they would take, if they were attacked, they would take the other side and they would be successful. And so what he did was he commanded every male child born to be killed. That's the command he gave. However, a Levi woman, by faith, defied Pharaoh's command and hid her child 3 months. And after 3 months, when she could no longer hide him, what did she do? You guys all saw the movie, right? The book is better. The book is better. So what did she do? She built a little ark. Think about that. It goes back to the ark. She built a little ark, put him in the river, and Pharaoh's daughter went and saw him, and it's like, oh, how wonderful. And Moses' older sister was there and says, do you want me to get a nursing woman for you? And it's like, I just happen to know one. So mama got to care for the child, but now she belonged to Pharaoh. He belonged to Pharaoh's daughter. So he's raised up in the palace in Egypt with all the pleasures and all everything that the palace had to offer. He grows up in this area. But by faith, his mom did that. He disobeyed Pharaoh, which would have cost her life. And so, verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he came of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Notice, he grew up there. He had everything. He had everything that the world could offer. Everything. But notice, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Oh, his eyes were set on heaven. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. After being raised in the palace with all the luxuries and powers that come with that, I mean, Moses didn't have to do anything. He had it made. I mean, that's what the world looks for. It's like, man, I just need to, if I make that like that, if I am in that situation, I made it, the world says. I mean, he had everything, money, power, everything he could think of. But by faith, Moses chose to suffer with God's people rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of the world. By faith, Moses chose the eternal rather than the temporal and understood that the reproach of Christ was better than the riches of the world. And the Bible says, Jesus says in Mark 8, verse 36, this is what Jesus says. This is near and dear to my heart. It says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? But what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There is more than ample examples of that, of people that gave up. They said, you know what? I don't care about God. I'm going to do whatever it is what I'm going to do, and made tons of money and did all these things, and they were miserable. And they died miserably. There's examples after examples of people obtaining those things, but there was always a hole in their heart. There was always emptiness, because God has created us with a relationship, for a relationship with Him. And when that's missing, it does not matter. Judas sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. Some sell it for a lot cheaper. And Moses said, you know what? I choose to identify with God and His people rather than with the world. And he gave up the best that the world could offer for God and His people. Now think about that. As Christians, a lot of times, if we're honest, we chicken out, right? We're going to talk about other chickens too here, Gideon and others, and anyway, Barak. But we're in good company, sort of. But sometimes we chicken out. And we're like, hey, you know what? We have nothing to be ashamed of. Listen, we're a saved people. God loves us. We're saved. We've been rescued. And sometimes we do the opposite. We'd rather be identified with the world than with Jesus Christ. But that's not what Moses chose. The worst that God has to offer, which is persecution, as we see here, for these individuals of faith, is far better than the best that the world can offer. Far better. The worst of God is far better than the best of man, than the world has. And we think about the fact of the temporal, eternal, heaven, earth, life, death, Jesus, or the pleasures of the world of sin and death. There's no comparison. There's no comparison. God is so much better. Jesus is so much greater. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So by faith Moses obeyed God and sprinkled the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, believing that those covered by the blood would be saved. Think about that. Here's Moses. He's going to Pharaoh, let my people go, let my people go. And eventually this was the last straw. And God says, I'm going to kill the firstborn. And he says, but you, Moses, you tell my people to sprinkle the blood of a lamb on the door, and the angel of death is going to pass them over. They're going to pass over. And by faith he did it. How did he know that? It was by faith. He believed God. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. The world cannot do what the Christian does. We cannot move in faith. They chose, Moses by faith moved the sea, and more importantly, moved the people of God. Moses believed God in every way and never went back to the old life. By faith, he moved. There are people that have given up everything to go and preach the word of God, gone to other countries, or just gave up what, because God calls us to it. He calls us on the floor sometimes. Lord, I just want to follow you regardless of this. And sometimes I think it's like that section of the rich man that he went back, and it says that he was very rich and he went away sorrowful. He couldn't do it. But there's some that have given up everything. And the world says, why? Why would you do? Why would you give up such a wonderful career, home, family? Why would you do all that? And they don't understand. Because we do it because God has called us to. Like Abraham says, here I am. And like Isaiah said, send I. And listen, because their eyes are in heaven, not here on earth. And their treasures are so much greater in heaven. The life we have here is short, but eternity is long. A long time. Can't even compare it. Can't even compare it. Moses believed God in every way. By faith, verse 30, the walls of Jericho fell down. After they were encircled for 7 days, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. That's important to highlight. She didn't perish with those who did not believe, because there'll be a time that an unbelieving world, after God over and for thousands of years has reached out to a world, a Christ-rejecting world, there'll be a time that there'll be judgment again. And those that do not believe will be judged. But here this woman, this harlot, Rahab, did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And you can note this if you like. Joshua chapter 2 through 6 is this event. In Joshua 2, Joshua sent out spies into Jericho to spy out the people in the city. And it said, the Bible says that they stayed with Rahab, the harlot. And when the king of Jericho found out, he sent people there to get them. And Rahab hid them. She hid them in the roof. Rahab knew that God had sent them, and she confessed that the Lord is God. Listen, she confessed that the Lord is God. And she says, we have heard of what God has done. We have heard of the Red Sea. We have heard how God took care of all these people, did away with them. We know that God is with you. She knew, and she asked that her and her family be spared. In other words, she asked to be saved by faith. And she was. And so, not only is she listed here in the Hall of Faith, but also in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew 1. Think about that. This Gentile woman who was a harlot, that's not a good thing. It doesn't matter. What the world rejects, God says, no, I love you. I receive you. And so, by faith, Joshua commanded the people to march around the impenetrable walls of Jericho for 6 days. And on the seventh day, when they marched around it seven times, God said, I will bring down the walls. Would you march around a place? God says, hey, listen, this place is going to fall down. All you got to do is march around it. That's all you got to do. Makes no sense, God. I don't know. You got to tell me again. Really? All I got to do is march. How many times? Once for 6 days. Okay. And the seventh day, what do? You do it seven times. That's all I got to do. These walls. God says yes. By faith. By faith, Joshua obeyed when it didn't make sense to do so. And listen, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. He believed something. He believed what God said, even though it sounded ridiculous, even though it was against all logic, even though it seemed impossible. He believed God. Maybe there are some things in your life right now that God is speaking to you about. Possibilities. Walls of Jericho, if you will. Impenetrable walls. There's no way, God. There's absolutely no way. It's impossible. God is the God of impossibilities. We go back to what we started with, that the author takes him back to the very beginning, that in the beginning, God framed the world. He created all things. He spoke things into existence. If we believe that, then everything else is not a problem. By faith. God does things. Now, will he do them or not? Hey, listen, that's up to him. But we believe that he can. And he does. And he does. And so maybe the Lord's speaking to someone here today, and he wants you to move in something that seems beyond your physical possibilities. That's okay. That just means like he's going to do it. Just like the walls of Jericho, he did it. And what more shall I say, says the author? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets. So the author says, we have a whole lot more examples here in our history. A whole lot more. But time would fail me to go through all of them. And so he makes quick mention of them. And rather than fly through these individuals, because I'm looking up there, it looks like I'm running out of time, which may not be a surprise for some of you here. I'm just going to read through it, but we're going to come back. So note, mark where we left off, because I got a mark here. Verse 32. Look at verse 32 with me. And we're going to go through verse 30. Where did I leave off here? 35. Verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdue kingdoms. Notice, this is the work of faith. This is the result of their faith, who through faith subdue kingdoms, worked righteousness. That means that through faith, they obeyed God and did righteous works. They obeyed what the Bible said. Through faith. Sometimes you don't want to obey God. You know what? That it can seem like work obeying God. Work of righteousness. Worked righteousness. Obtained promises. Stopped the mouths of lion. We remember that, right, Daniel? Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. And I love this. Out of weakness, we're made strong. Out of weakness. Listen, God works with weakness. The strongest man, that man is so weak compared to our Heavenly Father and the things that He wants to do through the weakest man. He can do so much, so much. And so, out of weakness, we're made strong. Why? Because they believed God. And you know, Gideon is an example. Barak is another one. Maybe became valiant in battle. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Amazing. Amazing. We'll leave it there. Listen, if God used these men, and we're going to talk about Gideon. He was hiding out from the Midianites in the cave. And God says, you mighty men of valor. He's hiding out. Barak, he wouldn't go. He wouldn't listen to God. God had told him, hey, go on up. So he sends the prophetess, Deborah, and says, you got to go. And Barak says, only if you go with me. If God can use these men, if He can use Rahab, He can use you. And He wants to use you. He has a plan for your life. And I encourage you to walk in those plans. We should all walk in the plans that God has for us. Amen? Lord, we just thank You. You're so good to us. We love You. We praise You. Thank You that You give us example, Lord, of men that and women, people that were just obedient to You, that they loved You. And though there were difficulties, Lord, Your promises are always and have always been true. And so, Lord, we just pray for those here today and maybe those listening online that, Lord, that You would just minister to them. Maybe there's something that they've been struggling with. Lord, You know what it is. I just pray that through the power of Your Holy Spirit, You would just touch those things and meet them where they're at. Meet us all where we're at and minister to us. And that, Lord, and like these men and women of faith, that we would be those that say, yes, Lord, we believe. And that You would use us mightily. Thank You. Thank You that You would use any of us, Lord, faulty creatures that we are. Thank You. In Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.